So here I am doing my second podcast, and this time I'm going to talk about making music and probably ask a question, and that is, what do you do when you don't have the inspiration to make music? I don't know if you've ever like come across the feeling when you're doing something, you're just in the middle of it, and you just suddenly feel like, I don't want to do this. It's kind of what I experienced today. I was standing there in front of the Dreadbox Medusa and the Novation Peak. Like, I'm standing in front of some decent synthesizers, and I just couldn't make myself get into the mood for music. And I'm sure I'm going to get all kinds of advice from people like, oh, you should do this, or you should try that, or you should remember this, remember that. But you know what? Like, what can you do against that unstoppable, like, willpower blocker when you're in the middle of something? You just get, like, hit by it, and then everything else just, I don't know. It's a hard thing to overcome. But I don't want to focus on that on my first, like, real actual podcast. So I figured I'd talk about getting into music. I've actually gotten into music two times. Once when I was 18, and that was back in 98, so now you know how old I am. I was just experimenting with, like, free loops and stuff, and I was enjoying it, but I'm really bad at using a mouse. So eventually I got to the point where I didn't like using a mouse to interface with musical stuff. And at the time, I hadn't heard of MIDI controllers, so I just got out of music. I got out of music for a long time. And I recently got back into music because a game developer, heard my old stuff, and they liked what they heard, and they wanted to put my music in their game. And that kind of, like, bumped me into the inspiration, and I started looking at how to get back into production. I started seeing videos from, like, Andrew Huang and Cuckoo and Red Means Recording and stuff like that. And it looked like a lot of fun to make music with actual hardware. It looked so much better than the software. So I decided, you know what, I'm going to buy something. I'm going to buy my first piece of hardware. And at the time, this was about almost a year ago, it was exactly a year ago, I bought a set of Roly blocks. That's the C board and the live block and the loop block and the light pad or light block or whatever. I bought all this stuff, and I also bought a brand new iPhone at the time, the iPhone X, because I was like, you know, I'm using a Samsung Note 8, and I can't run this software on here. I was thinking, this is going to be awesome. I can play with all this stuff and not have to worry about using a computer. But unfortunately, the noise and Roly stuff didn't work out for me, because noise is really limited. Roly noise, not noise the sound. Roly noise is really limited. Unfortunately, you're limited to four different patterns playing at the same time to make up one song, or four tracks. You can make 16 in total, or even 36, I'm not sure, but you can't play more than four of them simultaneously. That's the first problem. The second thing is, even on an iPhone X, they stutter. Like, you'll be, like, playing a single loop, and it starts to, like, glitch and stuff, and you've only got four things playing. What the hell's wrong with that? I played with things like Groovebox on the iPhone as well, and that thing runs fantastically. You can have pattern after pattern after pattern running, loop after loop after loop, and it just holds together so well. But for some reason, noise can't seem to do it right. Not yet. Maybe in the future. So anyway, Roly Noise was a bust, and I figured, what am I going to do now? Well, I was looking at, like, you know, like, is it Andrew Huang and Cuckoo and Red Means Recording, and they're always playing with the OP-1, and I was like, oh, this thing looks really cool. So I went out and bought an OP-1. I say went out and bought it. I actually ordered it online. And I'm living in China, so I had to pay the China tax, which is, like, you know, 20% more expensive than anywhere else. But whatever. I got myself an OP-1, and man, that was fantastic. That did such wonders for opening up my musical creativity. It's like, the OP-1's a hard thing to explain. Like, people either love it or they hate it. And if they love it, they love pretty much the same thing that I do. Like, it's basically like a musical notepad. You might not want to, like, make entire albums on it, although people do that. But, I mean, it's limited, and you got four tracks, but there's so much you can do with it. You've got four tracks, and each of them can be overdubbed multiple times on, so you can actually build a lot of complexity. It's deceptively deep. And then there's synth engines built into it, and they sound great, and there's all sorts of filters and LFOs, and it's a lot of fun. So I got one of those, and I started making music on it, and I thought it was a lot of fun, but I kind of wanted to up my game even more and get a bit more serious. At this time, I had really picked up the MPC or the OP-1's workflow. I'd totally gotten into it, but I felt like I was kind of, I don't know, hearing the same sounds over and over again. So I decided to go one up on that, and I bought an NPC Live. And I got to tell you, when I first got it, I really didn't like it because I couldn't understand the workflow at all. I'm sitting here playing with something and I'm like trying to make some sounds and stuff. And I can like, I don't know what to do with the pads and everything. I was so clueless when I first got it. I was thinking, what the hell am I going to do with this thing? But in the end, I ended up going for it anyway and like reading up on it and watching videos and stuff. And I started getting better and better at the NPC Live. But I still had some gripes about it, like the way that the workflow worked or the way that the audio tracks worked. And there's one thing about it was the audio tracks that you couldn't mute them in between sequences if you'd copied them. And it turned me off of it, so I didn't use it for a long time. And that was interesting. Then I went ahead and bought like a full-on synthesizer. A buddy of mine's like, you know, you should get an analog synthesizer. I'm thinking, oh, analog, digital, what's the difference? He's like, oh, it just sounds sweet. So my first analog synthesizer was a Korg Minilog, and that thing is a beast of a synthesizer. For $500 or maybe even cheaper now, it is a beast of a synthesizer. It's a really fat, nice-sounding synthesizer. You're definitely going to grow out of it if you're like exploring analog synthesizers. There are better stuff in the world, but it's a really nice-sounding synthesizer. And for the money, well, wow, what a synthesizer. I got one of those. I played it for a bit, really liked the analog stuff, and for some reason I went from a $500 synthesizer to a $5,000 synthesizer. I went out and bought a Moog Voyager XL because I was like, you know, I had some money and I figured, what the hell, might as well just splurge. Now, it's an expensive thing for me too. I'm not like, yeah, la-di-da, $5,000. It's an expensive purchase for me too, but I was thinking I wanted something that was like at one part a synthesizer and another part a collector's item, if you understand what I mean with that. And so I ended up getting the Voyager XL, and holy crap, what an amazing synthesizer. Like going from the Korg Minilog, which is small and it's neat and versatile and everything, but going, like, you got to understand my chronology here. I'm going from noise, Roly noise blocks to Roly blocks to like the OP1 and then the NPC Live and then the Korg Minilog, and then bam, this big old fat Moog synthesizer. This thing just blew my mind, my flippin' mind, man. It is such a hardcore synthesizer, and there's patch bays on it, like plugs and stuff like that, and I have no idea what I'm doing. Like, when I make videos on YouTube under my name, K Johnson, and I make these videos and I call them totally amateur review. I call them like I review this and that. There's a reason for that, because I don't know what I'm doing half the time when I get these things. I like to buy toys to try to figure out, and the more complex it is, the more I had to figure out. And this thing was freaking complicated, man. There was so much to figure out, and I had the basics of like oscillator and octave and stuff like that, but then there's like the whole patch bay, and I had no idea how to use it. So I'm trying to figure out how to do this thing, and I'm reading in the manual, and the manual's not very clear about like where to put patch points and stuff like that. It's like it's kind of expecting that you already know, so it's like, yo, yeah, plug this into that or that into this, but it's not like this hole or that hole. It's saying like plug the LFO into the attenuators and then the attenuators into this, but then there's like underneath all of it, there's like, make sure you don't plug things into the wrong hole or you can fry your synthesizer. And I'm like, oh my god, I can't, I don't know what, okay, I'm not playing with the patch bay. So I used that thing just like without any patches for quite a while. I'm starting to get a little more comfortable with it. But I kind of wanted to also something that was more in the lines of an NPC Live and the OP1, like a groove box. I wanted something that had the beats and the synths and all that stuff built into it. So I was looking on Taobao, which is China's eBay, and I was watching videos on YouTube, and I saw the Korg EMX1. It's this like aluminum blue looking thing, metallic blue looking thing that you can make full songs on. And I was like, oh, that looks awesome. And I went out to this, not a factory, I went out to this warehouse in the countryside of Beijing, and I went out to buy this thing, right? I like got the quoted price of like basically like $600 or something like that for this brand new thing. And I went out there and I looked at it, and it wasn't brand new. It had been sitting on their show floor and then taken back and put into the like bad storage in this warehouse. And so it was all dusty. And I talked the guy down to $200 or something like that. And while I was there, since I had saved a lot of the money that I initially meant to spend, I was like, you know, how can I look around your shop? Like, the warehouse, because like there's a lot of boxes of stuff here. And I'm looking around and I see this box, this dusty box. Roland MC808, the 808 Groove Box from 2007. Oh my God, unopened, sitting there in the box. And I'm like, how much is this? And he's like, well, I could sell it for 10,000 kwai, which is basically like 2,000 bucks. But because I want to like work with you in the future, I'll give it to you for 3,000 kwai, which is basically like 400 bucks. I got this, or 300 bucks, yeah. Yeah, 300 bucks. I got this brand new MC808 in the box from the place at the same time as the Korg EMX1. Oh my God. I intended to buy the EMX1 and play the crap out of it. I ended up getting the EMX1 and the 808, and I played the crap out of the MC808 for such a long time. I made so much music on it. It's a wonderful machine. So all of this is getting me more and more into music, and at the same time, I'm putting all these songs into a game on Steam. It's called Click Raid, if you're ever interested. I started putting all my songs into there, and I just loved having the format, or like the platform to like put out my music and get feedback on it. And over time, I started buying more synthesizers. I got myself a Jupiter 80, and I got a DSi OB6 and a Novation Peak, and I just... Like, this is how I got back into music. It was definitely through hardware. It was a better experience for me than getting into it through software. I know some people swear by their plugins and stuff like that, and I think that's cool. And, like, the MPC Live just recently got plugin support, and it's got its own built-in synthesizer and bass line and all this stuff, like synthesizers and bass line, and it is fantastic. It sounds wonderful, and I love playing with it all over again. But I still have a real soft spot for hardware. It's so much nicer to actually put your hands on the machines when you're making sounds and turn the knobs yourself and to be able to have two hands on things and to collaborate with somebody else in the room. I don't know. So this is how I got into music, and this is where I'm at with music right now. I still have very little idea what I'm doing with most of my hardware, but that's where I'm at now. It's how I came from software into hardware. And that's how I fell in love with making music again after the first time of like, oh my God, I can make a music on a computer. And now I'm just like, oh my God, I can buy machines and make music on them. I just love it. It's such a wonderful feeling. But anyway, yeah, I'm going to end the podcast on that note. I hope that the sound is recorded properly. And I hope you guys have enjoyed listening. And I don't know if there's a comment system on here. So, you know, I hope you guys enjoy, and I will be making more podcasts in the future, perhaps with sound and stuff like that, and talking about each device specifically. And that's that for that, so I will talk to you guys later, and thanks for listening to my podcast. See y'all later. This is Katekiss, out.